Well, we have we've been in a series the last handful of weeks, if you've been here, a series that we're calling How Long, O Lord? Living at the crossroads of prayer, justice, and the new creation. We've been taking 4 weeks to look at some really pertinent issues in our society right now. We looked at racism last week. We looked at abortion. Next week, we'll be talking about human trafficking. And this Sunday, we're talking about the issue of poverty. This is a big issue in our society. It's one that we face daily here as we just go out our door in Pierce County. And I'm excited this morning. I invited Sherry Finnessy to come and share with us a little bit. Sherry works with an organization that we've been close with, that we support as a church called Bridges of Love Northwest. It was formerly called Love in the Name of Christ. And Sherry's been a friend of ours here at Summit for a lot of years. Some of you are even familiar a little bit with Love, Inc. And I'm excited that she's here this morning to be able to share with us just a little bit about kind of poverty and the church and where those things cross over with the ministry of Bridges of Love. So Sherry, would you come on up here? And we're just excited to have you. Give Sherry a hand for being here with us this morning. Really grateful that you're here, Sherry. It's great to have you. Sherry and I got to spend some time 2 weeks ago just kind of hearing a little bit more about where Bridges of Love is and what's happening with them. And I was just super encouraged by that time for her to come and share a little bit with us. So, Sherry, why don't you just tell us a little bit more about this ministry that really you started, right, or were involved in starting, and that's been multiple years now serving in Pierce County. Tell us a bit more about Bridges of Love and what the vision of that ministry is.
Okay. Everybody still knows us as Love in the Name of Christ, Love, Inc., and I still say that word all the time. So we were created 16 years ago by the churches that wanted to work together to help people in need instead of each church doing their own thing and kind of feeling overwhelmed because there's so many needs, they can't meet them all. And I originally kind of volunteered because they said they were going to close their doors if they couldn't find a volunteer director to start this ministry. And I don't know if any of you are like me, but once you make a decision for God, do you try to talk yourself out of it later on? After I volunteered to volunteer, in a worship service, I was sitting there and I was saying, Lord, there is no way I can get these churches to work together. Churches split up over a verse in the Bible. Denominations don't work together. You know, I had all these, I can't do this, I'm a woman, they'll only listen to men, and this argument. And then all of a sudden the worship team saying, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Touch my hand. Oh, touch my heart, Lord, and speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And as I was listening to that come to me, I was bawling sitting out there because I knew that was God saying, you know, just make yourself available. And as soon as they were done singing that song, I heard as if someone was sitting right next to me, he who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. So I knew all I needed to do was do what I knew to do and trust God for the rest. That's what got me fired up.
Wow. So 16 years now you've been serving with Bridges of Love. Tell us a bit about what that original vision was as churches came together and said, hey, we can't do this on our own. We need to partner together and let's form Bridges of Love. What was that original vision and what is it today? What's Bridges of Love aiming at?
Well, initially the church has built this clearinghouse, this phone center, and we trained ourselves into what all the services were out there in the county and with what churches wanted to help with, because different churches help with different things. There's passions inside the churches individually to do different things, but maybe not so much collectively, and we wanted to pool all those resources into one place so that when people call the churches for help for different things, they would refer them all to us, and our volunteers would screen them and make sure that the needs were legitimate. We would verify the information, and then we would refer them to either churches that have told us they want to help with things or with agencies that were already set up to help with certain things, because we wanted to use the churches not to duplicate what the agencies are doing, but to fill in the gaps where there were no services.
So today now, for you guys over just the last couple of years, how is that vision for sort of supporting the church and its outreach to the poor and needy in the community? How is that kind of fleshed out now over the last couple of years in some of the programs and different efforts that Bridges of Love has had?
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
The mission statement was to mobilize the church to transform lives and communities in the name of Christ, to mobilize the church. It wasn't for us to do all the work, but to give people in the churches opportunities to do the work of the kingdom in our community. And initially, and still today, we get hundreds of calls every month of people asking for help with various things. Mostly it's financial stuff. And the first bunch of years, I don't know, 10 years, all we were doing pretty much was recruiting money from churches to help pay people's utility bills, to keep their lights on, help them with their rent so they didn't get evicted. And I say what happened was there was this holy discontent. Yes, we were helping people. We were keeping their lights on. They weren't getting evicted. But if you look at our mission statement, nobody was being transformed. And so we learned how to better work with people to transform lives. And so we came up with programs that actually started focusing on the person and not the need. And one of the books I gave Pastor a couple weeks ago is called Redemptive Compassion. And it kind of walks the deacons or whoever is in that role in the church of helping people, helps them walk through a process together on how to focus on the person and not just the need. I'll give you an example. I shouldn't even have brought this up here. Our church constantly has somebody coming in at the end of the service, standing in the back, waiting for people to come out, and they start asking you for money for gas. And it's like the same people. And easily we'll have people say, here's $20, here's $20, you know, to give them something and to get rid of them, basically. But the premise of what we're trying to get out there is to build relationships with those people to find out why they're needy. You know, we might think their need is poverty, but their need could be relationally. And so one of the programs that we developed over this new paradigm thing, this new change, was called Jobs for Life. And so the people that are continually calling us, we do help them, but if they keep calling us, we say, if you want more help through the churches, this is how we can help you. And it's a 16-week program, so it's an investment of their life into this program. But it's also where we have mentors from the churches come in, and they invest that 16 weeks into the life of a person or the group. And I brought a booklet here. I can show you guys out there later. There's pages and pages of pictures of people whose lives have been changed because someone took the time to invest relationally in them. They drew closer to God. We've had three people get baptized that were in this program. I was telling him about one of the recent students who said that she didn't even talk to her sister anymore because the only thing her sister could do was talk about God, and she didn't want to even be around her sister. Well, after this, being in this program where God is woven all throughout this program, we'll talk about, you know, why you can't get a job and maybe talk about the roadblocks in your lives. And we'll talk about Joseph in the Bible and how, look at all the things that happened to Joseph. Yet he overcame them because he was working for God. And he didn't get bitter because bad things happened. And we weave God in there. And so now all of a sudden this one gal gave her life to Christ. And now she's friends with her sister and talking about how exciting God is in her life. And she brought to our class the new Bible that her sister bought her in the box. I mean, she carries her Bible around in the box.
Wow. Wow. It's super encouraging. I'd encourage, Sherry's going to stick around after the service, and she's got more stories like that that I'd encourage you to just hear. I mean, they were so encouraging to me. One of the neat things, and this is good for us, you guys are familiar with Tacoma Christian Reformed Church. We met there during the flood, and that's where you are at and where you guys host the Jobs for Life program. One of the neat things is that Jobs for Life program happens on Wednesday nights. There's childcare, and kids that have families that have youth group aids kids, those kids join in the youth group. at the church there. And so just really encouraged with the way that the gospel is integrated with that program, and it's really, you're seeing lives transformed through it.
Yeah.
This is really cool. Could you just share, you know, you shared a little bit of that story of that gal that really was affected by Jobs for Life, but it kind of brings up this question in my mind, just of what, maybe we're not familiar as much with poverty and what it looks like. What would you say is sort of the average story of a person that's coming, looking for help from a church or looking for help from Bridges of Love?
Yeah. One of the nice parts about, we built this database in 2011 that tracks everything under the sun. Technology is amazing. And it tracks the age of the people calling us, what their needs are, who's helping them. And the average person that calls us for help is the single mom making less than $1,500 a month with multiple kids, and her rent is usually 70% of her income. So, and when I say single mom, it doesn't mean there's not a guy coming in and out of her life, but they're not married, and when she calls, she just tells us about her and her kids. But we also get a lot of calls from senior citizens. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a report about the ages of people, and it's amazing how many people were over 55 that were calling us for help. And sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's service projects. And we'll get calls from people that live in Tacoma that there's some kind of a restriction with the city limits. If you live in the city limits, you have to keep your property a certain way, like your shrubbery can't grow over the sidewalk or stuff like that. And if the senior citizen can't take care of their property, the city will put a lien on their property and pay somebody to take care of it, but then they charge them, you know, later when they sell the property or whatever. So some of those people call us for help. And we try to get emails out to the churches to see if people can put together service teams to help us help these senior citizens. And I was telling Ben, one of the challenges we have is we'll get those calls monthly, at least one call a month. But a lot of times churches want to do this, let's go serve our neighborhood this weekend. And they'll pick June 12th and want to do 50 projects on June 12th, and we don't have anybody that calls us for help on June 12th. But in May and April and March, we had people calling us for help, and we had a hard time trying to find someone to volunteer. So that's some of the challenges that we work with when we're dealing with the churches and how they organize things.
Yeah. Well, it kind of brings up this question of just for us as a church, both as a community and as individuals, you know, as people feel a real heart for serving those who are in more difficult situations, who are in need, what are ways that we can actually connect in deeper ways to Bridges of Love and what you guys are doing and reach out and serve in these areas?
Yeah, when we were talking about the types of poverty, I was thinking of spiritual poverty and relational poverty. And a lot of the people that we get enrolled in our Jobs for Life program, we have found have been women between the ages of 35 and 50 who have done a heck of a job raising their family, and now their kids are grown, and they wonder, what can I do now? And how do I get into the workforce? In the old days, you'd fill out an application and drop it off at businesses, and you don't do it that way anymore. So we're teaching them how to use technology, how to build a resume online, have a file, you know, apply for jobs through a company online, and just those kind of things. Because of the relational poverty, many of them have isolated themselves. They don't have friends, close-knit friends, and they're in depression a lot. So that is kind of a common denominator in our Jobs for Life program, people that have isolated themselves and been in depression, and they just have lost hope. Mm. And just by being around, what we say for mentors is you don't have to be someone that has to fix somebody. Because if you think you're going to fix somebody, you're going to get let down. Because that's not our job to fix somebody. But if you can support and encourage somebody, then you'll be able to see the transformation. And the transformation in a person that's been depressed is when they see your hope, they start thinking, maybe I can have hope too. And they start taking little steps day by day that takes them out of that depression into a more functional, you know, lifestyle. And then all of a sudden the joy comes in because they see how great life can be when you're working together with a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah. That's really neat. I know that one of the things that struck me talking to you is just the, and it's going to come out in just what we look at in Luke 14 this morning, is just this aspect of community. Yep. That a ton of the reason why people are stuck in poverty is just a simple lack of community, and the church offers that in a way that nowhere else does. And so it's really encouraging. I'd encourage you to, Sherry again is going to stick around, talk to her. If you have a heart for the poor, if you have a heart to maybe serve in some ways there, connect to her, find out more of what she's doing. But can we pray for you? I'm just blessed by having spent time with you and hearing what Bridges of Love is doing. Pastor Mike, would you come on up and maybe we can just pray together as a congregation for Bridges of Love and the work that God's doing through you guys. So thank you, Sherry, for sharing.
Before you pray, can I thank them?
Yeah.
You guys don't know. I got to sit in front of Nick. And it's so funny because Nick writes the support check that comes to us every month. But you don't know how, I mean, for so long, you guys have supported us. You've probably been one of the first churches that have been supporting us, even when you had a different name. Mm-hmm. There was a different name out there. And it's like every time I see that check come in, it's like God says, I've got your back. Mm. I've got your back. And I just wanted to thank you guys for being so faithful.
Yeah, amen. Mike, would you pray for Sherry and for Bridges of Love?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this, your servant, Sherry, and all those who are diligently serving you in Bridges of Love. We thank you for the heart you've given them, for the dispossessed, the marginal, the poor, those on the fringes of life, as it were. And Lord, thank you for their heart. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would give them more churches to back what they're doing. I pray, Lord, that you would give us here even more of a sense of partnership and participation and expand our work with them. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you for the gospel in action with Bridges of Love. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sherry.